welcome everyone to another podcast episode for Rising Moons Podcast. Today we have a special guest. We have Sapphire Nova.
That's me. Hi guys.
welcome to the show, Sapphire.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have the co-host for today. We have Amanda.
Hello.
So first off, Sapphire, can you give us an introduction, a background of yourself and like what you do for work?
Sure. Like you guys know, I'm Sapphire Nova. I go by Sapphire Nova Cosplay on pretty much all social media platforms. And first and foremost, I'm a cosplayer. So that is my whole life. That's my job. It's, you know, pretty cool job, but sometimes can be pretty taxing. I work alongside my husband. We run a company called Superheroes Unlimited. And we make custom costumes for people if that's, you know, if that's something they want. We also make guest appearances at Comic-Con. You know, anime cons, video game cons, all of that stuff. And then we, you know, go out and we do photo shoots and, you know, we travel all over the country doing things like that too. So that's my goal in life is cosplaying all the time.
Nice. How is it working with your husband as, you know, as a business, you know?
Honest truth, depends on the day. No. You know what? It's like all work relationships. It is challenging to do with a spouse. Just because, you know, it's hard to separate home and work life. So, you know, there is quite a lot of challenges. But then on the other side, it's really rewarding because we get to do so many things together. You know, we travel together and we go to all these cool places and we meet, you know, cool, fun people. And, you know, so it's really nice to be able to do that with each other. And then, you know, I think we really support each other well. So, you know, I always kind of joke that he's a business and I'm the talent. So, you know, he's great because he really does, you know, have that business mind. So he, you know, he thinks about how to, you know, organize contracts and, you know, talk to con owners and all that stuff that I'm like, what I would do. So, you know, he's really great in that manner. So I think we complement each other well, whereas like, I'm the one that I will spend 12 hours putting, you know, Swarovski crystals on a costume. And so, you know, I will hand place every stone and I'm like, yeah, I got this. Don't worry. I'll be there 12 hours later. So, you know, we balance each other really well in that aspect.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Well, how did you come up with Superheroes Unlimited, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you come up with that?
So it's actually kind of a long story, but we started, so he proposed to me and then we immediately went on this like little like weekend vacation up to Niagara Falls as just kind of a fun little getaway, the two of us, you know. And so on the trip, we started talking about like future, you know, possibilities and plans and that kind of stuff. And we had already started talking about the potential of making a costume business. Truly, he had somebody like, we were out at Halloween and somebody like offered to buy the costume off his back.
Oh, wow.
Truly, like, it was like this Grim Reaper costume. And I had told him last minute we were going to this party. So it was like bed sheets that he like stapled together. Like, that's how. And somebody was like, I want it right now. And we're like, wow. Maybe there's a business in this. If like our worst costumes can sell, what can our best? And so we went on this trip. And so we were kind of talking, and we had actually had the idea of maybe starting this company where we, like, do, like, birthday party appearances and that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of people have done it. I was actually working for a company at the time doing, like, more of, like, the princess side of things. So, like, you know, playing Cinderella and that kind of stuff. And so we were like, let's make it superheroes, because then that way I'm not stepping on toes of the company I'm working on. And then two, that's something different. And that's kind of where we came up with the name Superheroes Unlimited. We're like, oh, it's a cool name for it.
Yeah.
Well, then we ended up, we're like, okay, well, you know, in order to have startup for all of this, it's going to be very pricey to get all those costumes together. We were like, well, what if we start, we'll kind of put that on the back burner for now and we'll start, you know, making costumes for people, because that's something we can do right away.
Right.
And then it just became such a huge success that we never went back to the original. So we never turn around. We never look back at the party stuff. You know, we've had people request us for birthday parties and stuff from time to time, but really most of the characters we have aren't very, like, you know, birthday party compatible anyway. So,
right.
Yeah, we just, you know, kind of switched focus and we've never looked back because it's worked so well.
Nice. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks.
So how did you first get into cosplay?
So I actually got into it long before my husband. I kind of drugged my husband kicking and screaming. Yeah. To this day, he's still not much of a cosplayer. Like, it's really all me because I
love
it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's funny because everybody assumes the opposite.
Yeah,
and right. I'm like, oh, no, I'm the nerdy. Like, he's nerdy too, but like, don't get me wrong. I'm nerdy and weird.
I like it.
The best,
you know,
combination.
So I actually started cosplaying. Well, so, I mean, mind you, like, when I was a kid, like, I lived in my princess dresses. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure I didn't take off my Princess Jasmine costume from the time I was, like, 6 till the time I was 7. You know, when I was 3 years old, I carried around, like, a giant Batman doll that was, like, as big as I was. And yes, I call him a doll because he was a doll to me.
Oh.
I didn't even say Batman, so he was Matman. So, I mean, I've kind of always had it in me, but I truly, like, kind of coined the start of my cosplay when I went to see the Lord of the Rings movies.
Okay.
And desperately wanted to be an elf because I thought they were the coolest things ever. See, like,
they
what
were,
I said.
They were badass when they came out.
Oh my god, like, they were so beautiful and, like, everything. Like, I straight up, I had an English to Elvish dictionary that I tried to teach myself Elvish, which, you know, obviously didn't work. But, you know, I tried really hard because, again, that's the kind of nerd I am.
That's amazing. Do you still have that book with you?
I had it, actually, you know what, it might still be in my box of, like mementos, because I know I've, like, grappled with getting rid of it over the years because I know I'm never actually going to use it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, also want to keep it because, like, the memories. Yeah. And so, like, for the movie, I wanted to dress as an elf. And, like, I looked at their costumes and I'm like, there's no way I could ever make anything like this. Now I'm, like, making things like that. But at the time, you know, I was pretty young. And so I took an old prom dress. And it was, like, kind of gold and scrolly, so I'm like, yeah, it totally looks like it could be kind of elvish.
Yeah.
And then I made a cloak, and, like, I've told many story because the cloak story is my favorite. Okay, so this is my first time making, and that's why I kind of coined it as, like, my start. It was more than just, okay, like, my parents bought me a dress. Like, I made this cloak. Okay, now, most normal people know when you make a cloak, like, obviously you need more material than it is wide, so somewhere you have to have a panel. Okay,
right.
So most people put the panel straight down the back. That is where it goes on a cloak, so you have two nice little panels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was not that smart, so my panels went like this.
Oh, no.
Right through the middle of my cloak.
Oh, no.
Because that's how I made it. And then I had, like, this pattern for a hood. There was, like, these triangles you put together, and it was, like, measure around your head and figure this out. So I measured it and everything, and I made it, and I sewed it together. And when it all came together, the hood was about this big around. And on my head, like, it was like a dunce cap, if it would even go on, but it was attached. So it just kind of became decorative back there. Oh, it was so awful, but I was so proud of this thing. I, like, marched up to the movies. I was like, kick me out of my cloak. Like,
you were wearing it too?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. It was like, yeah, no. So it was terrible.
That's
but I was so proud and so happy.
Yeah. Because it's something that you created, right?
Yeah, and so, like, truly, that's kind of what kicked off the obsession. And then, like, while I was at the movies, like, I met up with other people that were in costume, and, like, there was a Gandalf there and a friend. Oh my god, they're so amazing, and other people do this too, and
yeah.
I'm not alone in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, that was what kind of started me, like, wanting to find conventions and wanting to do, you know, more stuff. Because, like, I just wanted this excuse to dress up for more than Halloween.
Yeah.
And so that, like, that was kind of what really, like, started the obsession.
Nice. Did you have any nerves, like, before, like, when you first were about to go to, like, meet other people that, you know, dressed up as well?
So in fairness, like, I really didn't think, like, that very first time, like, I really didn't think anybody else was going to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was just going to be me and I was going to be all nerdy and by myself, but I'm one that I've always kind of marched to the tune of my own drum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, you know what? Life's too short not to do the things you love. And you know what? People are going to look at you weird no matter what you do. So you might as well enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so, like, I really actually, like, in fact, again, I was super proud of my stuff. Like, looking back, I should not have been proud of that. But it was. So, like, I marched right up to Gandalf and I was like, you think I thought I made it myself? Like,
he's like, yeah.
So, yeah, you know. Yeah, so that's always kind of in me. Like, there really wasn't a lot of nerves there.
Mm-hmm. And they were, like, very welcoming, too, yeah?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We, like, all took pictures together. We, like, formed our own fellowship. Like, we said we were going to be friends for life, even though I didn't talk to any of them after that. But, like, you know, that's what con friends are, aren't they?
Yes, that, you know? That is.
Next con to see him, I just didn't have another con to see him at. but, yeah, like, that, you know. They were so welcoming and so great. And, like, you know, again, I'm fangirling over them. Like, I've met the real Frodo. Like, so, you know, it was just fun. Like, it was, I mean, we ended up probably hanging out for, like, an hour or two after the movie. Like, mind you, like, now, like, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, back in those days, it was the midnight movie premiere. Like, that movie started at 12:01 on the day it came out.
Yep. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah. I was there at every one of those premieres.
Which one was your favorite?
Of Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Nothing in the Hobbit series. Those don't exist to me. Probably The Fellowship was my favorite, followed by Return of the King, and then probably Two Towers.
Okay.
And like I said, we pretend The Hobbit doesn't exist.
Have you read the book?
You know, here's what I will give to The Hobbit. I will give to The Hobbit, if it cut out all the fluff that they used to make it three movies and just made it one movie, like, of the source material, it would have been brilliant. Because the things that came out of the book were amazing. Like, I was so
happy. Yeah.
And, like, then they just started adding random stuff.
That is true. That is true.
Like, I was really excited when I heard that Orlando Bloom was going to be reprising his role as, like, super excited. But then, like, because I thought he was going to be, like, you know, he walks past the hall in Mirkwood. Because, like, it made sense. Like, he's the Prince of Mirkwood. They went to Mirkwood. Like,
yeah.
It makes absolute sense that he would be there. So I was like, that's going to be an awesome addition. And then, like, they added him. Mm-hmm. And then made him jump along barrels and be this god. And I'm like,
that's not Legolas.
Like, you know, the elves are cool and they're everything. But, like, that was too much.
yeah, I definitely agree. I think The Return of the King was my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was good.
I also wasn't too happy in The Hobbit about the added, like, love story arc for some reason. Oh, like,
yeah,
why?
Yeah. Like, it felt so, like, and I was truly into, like, Toriel. Like, I liked that they had her as a character and stuff like that until they, like, tried to, like, string in this love story. And I was like, again, why? Yeah.
So, Sapphire.
Yeah.
What are some things that you wish you would have liked to have known before pursuing cosplay full time?
There's a couple things. I mean, I would have liked to have had more of the knowledge, like, costume making that I have now when I started, because obviously, like, I look at some of my early costumes, like that cloak, and go, oh dear God, like, why was I proud of that thing then? You know, and there's some costumes, like, I've even, like, updated and changed over the years as I, like, learn more. So, you know, that kind of knowledge, definitely. But, like, as somebody that, like, getting into this as a career, I think the thing that I would have, you know, liked to know most is truly just how, like, how much of a job it is. Like, although my job is fun and I love it and it's, you know, it truly is the greatest thing ever. Like, I do love it, but it is work. And there's days, like, it seems like it's so simple. Like, oh, just put on a costume and you're done. And there were days like this past weekend, you know, I saw you guys at Swornfest.
Mm-hmm. That was my first time.
Yay! It was so much fun. Brought in
another Sworn, Sapphire.
What?
Brought in another fiend, Sworn.
Yeah! Good. the more that I can bring in, the better. But yeah, so, I mean, blast. I had so much fun. However, at 5 o'clock in the morning each morning, when I was painting to become Lady Death, I was not having life. And especially like this weekend, it was cold. Like
it was cold.
Now, yeah. Like we said, like 80 degrees outside now, but like it was cold this weekend, so I'm like freezing as I'm like trying to paint, and it's early and I'm tired and I'm like, man, this sucks, like I'd rather be doing anything else in the world right now, especially sleeping. And you know, so there's days when like it's tough, there's days when you're like, man, I do not want to go to this thing, I do not want to put on this uncomfortable costume, and I don't want to be cheery, and like I just want to sit in my comfy sweatpants. And like there are days when it's like it's tough. And just like any job, there's days when you're like, man, I don't want to do this.
Oh, for sure. But
like it's, you know, it is rewarding in the end. So like, you know, again, it wouldn't have changed anything for me, but I wish I had been able to like kind of program that in my brain, like, there's gonna be some mornings where you're like, man, this sucks.
Yeah, I could imagine. Yeah, I think over the weekend it was, you know, in the morning it was like 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, is this Arizona?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for all those tuning in from, like, other parts of the world, like, we're in Phoenix. I like heat. For me, like, anything under 60 degrees is freezing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, 40 degrees, I was freezing my butt off, and especially felt like I had a lot of clothes on.
Yeah.
And, you know, truly, like, getting ready, like, it's easier to do, like, in very, very little clothing, if any clothing. So, like, when it's cold inside and it's cold outside, it's not fun to paint.
Would have been a useful day for medieval Lady Death with the pants.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I actually do have a pantsed version of her.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I do. For certain shows, like I've done, like Denver Comic Con likes to do a little bit more family friendly. So, like, I've done her for that show for Brian and for the Coffin Comics booth. But yeah, like it's something like, especially for Sworn Fest, like I'm gonna do the Fiends like proud. Like I'm gonna do.
Yeah. Yeah, straight, right? They're gonna come there and they're like, you know, you don't want them to be disappointed, you know?
They didn't come to see me in pants.
They want to see you pantless.
It is true.
They're like, let me see them legs.
Exactly. Yeah. It's true, though.
That's fantastic. So Sapphire, what was the deciding factor of making the decision of choosing cosplay as your career?
So kind of, I touched on this a little earlier with like the person that tried to buy the costume off Derek's back. Like
yeah.
It is something we kind of fell into. So, you know, I had been doing it for a hobby for so many years and, you know, just something I kind of did casually, you know, truly whenever I had the opportunity. Like if I could find something to dress up for, I was dressed up.
Yeah.
And so it kind of started that way. And then when we figured out that it was, you know, something that we could make a business out of it, that's kind of when we transitioned. And truly, like, I put kind of the rest of my life on pause and said, no, you know what, this is what I'm gonna do. And truly, so before I was, you know, a cosplayer full-time, my full-time job was as a professional ballroom dancer.
Ooh.
And that, I know, the more you talk, the more your jobs you're going to find out about. Ballroom dancer, like, I used to work for the zoo, like, yeah. I've got a million jobs. But yeah, no, as far as that, so I was kind of winding down my career as a ballroom dancer. And so, you know, I was looking for something new to kind of fill in that gap. And that's kind of about the time that cosplay was really taking off for me. And so, you know, I decided to say, you know, I took my retirement dance for my ballroom career. I said goodbye to that life and put all my time into this. So
how long did it take you to start, I would say, producing consistent results for your business?
Still waiting on that? Yeah, it's one of those things, like, cosplay is so much up and down. So, like, And especially with like the con season and now with COVID and everything, like
Right.
there's so many up and downs to it. So consistency is something that I don't think will ever be a part of this.
That's
But
for
it's,
sure.
I mean, I just feel like it's instead of, the peaks being down here, like now they're
They're
up here.
trending.
So, like it just kind of gradually like gets better. But again, consistent, something I don't think will ever be.
Yeah.
And part of, I think that's just part of being an artist in general. Like,
Yes.
you just gotta roll with the punches. And that's something, you said, what would I, have liked to have known too? Like, is truly so much of this job is just saying, okay, well, that's how things are going to be today. I've got to go with whatever that might be. Things change, schedules change, what's expected of you changes. And so there's so many times where you just have to go, okay, that's not what I was planning to do today, but now that's what I'm doing. So,
So you did
I got.
mention about COVID too, because obviously that was pretty, it's a rough time. But how did you deal, like what did you do during the times when it was like prime COVID?
Well, I mean, A, I had COVID, and so during
Oh.
the time I died a little.
Well, good thing
Oh
you're not fully dead, right?
yeah, well, that's something for a later day.
Yeah.
I spent a solid 3 weeks like almost unable to move.
What? Oh my
It was pretty
gosh.
serious. So my husband was hospitalized from it. He spent a week in the hospital.
Wow.
So it was pretty serious for us, but during like COVID times, obviously, like for us, like a big money maker is conventions, and we didn't have those,
Right.
so we had to kind of switch gear, rethink some things, try and do the best we could. So we ended up we started at the beginning of COVID trying to run a few like online conventions. And then us getting COVID kind of killed all that momentum and they just never picked back up. So, started with that and that kind of, helped a little bit. Then we did a lot of photo shoots. So we decided to travel a bunch because we could. And I mean, not that you could really travel, but like, we in Arizona or like Cali or that kind of stuff, but we used that opportunity of, people have time off work. So let's drive up and spend 2 days and shoot at Horseshoe Bend in northern Arizona, or
Nice.
let's drive out to the sand dunes and shoot in the sand. And so we tried to find things that made for cool and different kind of content, especially because so many people were like, "Look at this fabulous backdrop I have in my house, isn't it fancy?" And it's like, here we are, like, "Look, I'm hanging on the side of a cliff." Like, and so at least that way we could still keep interest up and keep fun things coming out and live streams and stuff like that. So at least it kind of kept that momentum going for us.
That's good.
Tried to make the best of it we could.
And you still do have loyal followers, which is really good. So that
Yeah,
means
for
you're doing
sure.
something right, right?
I like to think so. So, I try to make sure that there's a little something for everyone. Even with my costumes, I try to make sure, it's not all books or it's not all anime. It's here's a little comic books and here's some anime and here's some heroes and here's some villains and here's some video games and here's an original character and a little bit of something. Here's really mainstream character, here's like super obscure character. Just that way there's literally anybody can look at my page and go, you know what, I don't really care about anime, that's not my thing. However, I love Black Cat, like Spider-Man's my favorite. There's that somebody can come to my page and go, I love that thing. And so that's what I try my best to incorporate.
That's awesome. This is simply that you're struggling with right now.
Yeah, with my art business.
Oh, really?
Yes.
As far as, having multiple,
Genres?
multiple genres on just one page, right? So, I think it'd be better for you to explain it.
About my stuff.
Like what your fears are.
Oh yeah. So, for example,
Maybe you can help her on
a lot of my stuff has got gained a following because of drag artists, drag queens, drag kings. I just really love to celebrate them. But I also now have a K-pop page, and they are being featured in a local store here. So that's I'm cool. always afraid that if I put my K-pop stuff on the same page as my drag page, that all my people I got in the drag section are going to leave because they don't want to see the K-pop stuff.
Yeah. It is possible. I mean, if, you know, you have gotten yourself into a little niche there, which is a good thing sometimes too. Like, you know, there's really, there's kind of two ways to play it. Either find something very, very specific. Like, you know, I could have started with like, I'm going to do Lord of the Rings and nothing but Lord of the Rings. And that's going to be my style because that's, you know, what I love. And I could have a great following from that, but I'm going to alienate everybody else. So it's like, but again, you can have a really strong community. I mean, again, let's take Swornfest this weekend. Yeah. Like, that was a community. It wasn't a very large con in terms of numbers. However, if you look at the people that were there, I mean, they are fiends to the extreme. Like,
they're ride or die.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's not a bad thing, you know, that they found that little area and they go for it. So there, you know, you can kind of play it both ways. I would say it sounds like you've kind of found your area. I probably wouldn't mix the K-pop stuff into it because you're right. Like, it, you know, it might alienate some of the people. And especially since you found that good, strong community, I would play to your strengths there.
I mean, I think like you might also see the same thing with cosplay, but like part of it is drag is very adult, 18 plus.
Yeah.
K-pop really isn't.
Yeah.
We're a little shy about it.
Well, and it's too, and the other thing too is, do you really want to bring the K-pop people into that?
Exactly. You know? Like, that might be a bit much for them.
Honestly, I would say, if you have the power and, you know, it seems like it's working well so far, I would keep those two separate, but keep those two going strong. And I wouldn't try to mix them because, again, it's not that it can't work, but I would be afraid of, you know, getting rid of the people. Like, again, if I had started, you know, I'm all Lord of the Rings all the time, and then they switched into anime, people would be like, well, what the heck? I'm only here for Lord of the Rings. That's what I built. You've kind of built a brand as either the drag or as the K-pop. So, you know, your brands are kind of separate at this point. So I would, and again, that's not a bad thing. If you find that little crevice that you can work your way into, like that's a good thing too. I started my brand keeping cosplay as a whole. So keeping a little bit of everything. And that's, you know, that is what I am. But just like that, my niche is cosplay. I don't venture out into, you know, here's my wedding dress photography and here's, you know, my fashion stuff, because it's not who my brand is.
Yeah. Some good stuff. Good advice.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it sounds weird to talk about as brands and stuff like that, but like, that's, and so, you know, it's, you know, you don't see Coca-Cola going, I'm going to make a great pizza. Like,
that would be weird.
They might acquire a different business that sells pizza, but they're going to sell it under that other name. Mm-hmm. You know, like that is kind of what it is. So, you know, you can have the greater overarching you as the artist, but, you know, I would keep those two separate.
Yeah. Good point.
Definitely.
All right. Awesome. I know we got a little off topic on that one, but
that's okay.
So Sapphire, what are some common mistakes that you see people do in the cosplay industry?
So the biggest mistakes I will say, and this is me strictly talking from people that want to turn cosplay into a profession or that are trying to get a profession. This has nothing to do with people that are just coming to a con casually cosplaying.
Correct, yeah.
So this is, you know, again, I want a convention to pay me to be there. I want to have a booth at a convention, all of those things. Biggest things that I see are that people show up late. You know, if the con opens at 10 a.m., They don't roll in till noon, 1 o'clock, whatever. You know?
What?
Noon? That's 2 hours late. What?
Oh, yeah. Noon is early for some of them.
Oh my God.
It's
Wow.
pretty, and like, not even like, oh, I've seen this once or twice. I've seen this so many times, time and time and time again.
And they what? They probably expect to get paid as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And again, not every cosplayer is paid to be at a show. Like
Right,
there are
right.
times their payment, so to speak, is being given a booth,
Right.
which a lot of vendors, like if you're there selling, you know, pops, or if you're there selling comics or whatever it might be, you're paying for that booth. So in a sense, a con is then paying you to have that booth. That is a con losing money on you. That is them paying you. And still, they'll roll in 2 hours, 3 hours late. And so that's, I mean, that's number one. Number two is, you know, I see a lot of times that, you know, girls or guys come, you know, take pictures on their Instagram, whatever, and they're in these beautiful costumes, huge armor builds, great wings, you know, fancy lights, everything. I mean, amazing looking costumes. And then at the show, they come in their onesie.
Seriously?
Spider Gwen suit, you know, like just, you know, Mary Jane, you know, white t-shirt, heart, jeans,
Yeah.
like,
Oh my gosh.
the
Like,
classic Mary Jane.
yeah, don't get me wrong. You take a look at my face or my Facebook, my Instagram, you're gonna see pictures of me as Mary Jane.
Yeah.
However, you never see me as Mary Jane at a convention because that's not my best costumes.
Yeah.
I'll take them because they're fun pictures, absolutely. But you will never see me in, you know, in anything less than, you know, and obviously I can't be in my absolute best costume every single con, but
Right.
like I haven't even sorted, like I have like a whole checklist on my phone of like, here's the costumes I have, here's all the pieces of that costume. I have con worthy costumes and photo shoot worthy costumes, because there's one that, like, I will literally only wear this as a photo shoot because like it makes great photos, it's, you know, fan favorites, whatever. You will never see me in that at a convention. Like, unless something went catastrophically wrong that morning and like every other costume died in a horrible fire. Like, because, you know, again, this is my job. I want to put my best foot forward. It's like, you know, if you're you know, banker on Wall Street, you don't show up in sweatpants.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're comfy. Nobody likes wearing heels and a suit, and you know, I'm sure you guys don't like wearing all the suits and ties and everything, but like,
I
you do it.
personally do.
I mean, you know, probably a lot of us don't, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Where
But
is it?
you know, like that's the thing is like there is things that are expected of you at every job. There is a complete difference between cosplaying as a hobby, which if you're cosplaying for a hobby, like if you're just coming to the con and you want to roll in at noon, 1 o'clock, hell yeah, power to you, sleep in. I'm jealous. But
Yeah.
if you're not, that's not your job. Like, it is my job, and I will be there at 10 o'clock. In
Yeah.
fact, I will be there at 9 o'clock, making sure that my booth is set up ready, everything is done, and by the time people walk in, I'm ready to go. And so that is the difference, and that's what I see so many, you know, so many cosplayers fail on, is they don't treat it as a job. They still try to treat it as their hobby, and it's very different.
I think that's one of the biggest struggles, and they need to have that switch of it's a job, not just a hobby.
Yep. Because we think so often, you know, of like the 9 to 5 job, you know, we know expected. There's a handbook, there's, you know, you're told this is what you'll be wearing, this is when you show up, this is how it's done. There isn't that for cosplay. There really isn't. However, we because there's not those things written out, we try to pretend like it's something so different. It's like, no, this is still a job. And a job has responsibilities and it has things that are expected of you.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was gonna go for.
Yeah.
Don't be late. It's like any
That's for
job,
anything.
anything, right? Something so simple, but it's
Yep.
funny. Yeah.
Like, even if it's just like meeting up with somebody, it's rude to show up late.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it just, you know, it's rude to that convention is what it is. Because now not only are you making yourself look bad by not being behind that booth when you're supposed to, You're making the convention look bad because now that looks like an empty table. Mm-hmm. So it looks like the convention made some kind of screw up in some way, whether, you know, they thought they had a guest that didn't show or whatever the case might be. You know, empty tables look bad. They do. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, if you go into a party and there's, you know, two people in a giant, you know, warehouse, it doesn't look like much of a party. Like, yeah. Same thing if you go into a convention and there's empty tables, it doesn't look like there's much of a convention. Yeah. And so, you know, again, now that booth paid, you know, that con paid for you to be there, and now you're disrespecting them.
Yeah. Now, you, because you have a team behind you as well, right?
Yes.
Have you ever had any struggles, like, with your team and, like, you know, as far as getting things set up in time and, you know, how have you dealt with that, those issues?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we have. I mean, especially when there's, you know, things. Usually we're about 5 girls in the morning. Let's face it, we all need to do our makeup and we all want to look perfect. And, yeah. You know, so eyebrows aren't cooperating and I hate the way my cheeks look. And, you know, we've all been there. So there are days when it happens, but that's truly why we usually try to plan to be there an hour in advance, because then even if we are running late, we still end up at least, you know, at least a little early, if not as early as we'd wanted to be. Some days, I mean, we are just running late and, you know, that sucks, but there's also a difference between being there at 10:05 and being there at noon. Right, like we try our hardest never to even be the 10:05, but again, we are girls. It does happen. We've never had anything. Ooh, and now I like want to knock on wood real bad.
Yeah, you know.
Like we've never had anything like truly like catastrophic happen. We've had a couple times where like, you know, somebody's getting dressed and like a zipper breaks, and now we have got to, you know, rethink the costumes real fast and switch some people around. So it kind of comes back to that being flexible, like I said.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes things happen like that, but for the most part, you know, we're pretty well organized somewhat. I like to think I'm, but, you know, like I said, I always try to make sure like we've given ourselves extra time, 'cause I never trust us to be on time.
That's good. Giving yourself that window.
Yeah. Yes. So we usually just end up being late to being early, so we end up on time.
Nice.
Nice. I like it. Are there any annoying stereotypes that you hear about cosplayers?
There are. My least favorite is the fake fan. You know, get it a lot that, you know, I'm a pretty girl. I obviously cannot like this stuff on my own.
Exactly.
And so my favorite is I get the quiz.
What's the quiz?
Oh no.
Where people come in and they're like, "Oh, you're cosplaying Supergirl today.
Oh.
Tell me, what did you think about that issue of Supergirl where she fought this character?" And like they start trying to like quiz you on your knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's my, like, God.
You know, again, I'm like, I got this. Don't worry. I will ace your quiz. But then there's times, too, where, like, you're like, dude, you're talking about one issue in the span of, you know, the 100 years of comics.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, as much as I love comics, I will not, you know, I will not even claim that I have read half of them, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like, not possible. It's not possible to know every single thing about every character. And especially when you look at like my costume, I've got about 70 or 80 costumes.
That's a lot of costumes.
I will be the first to admit that I do not know every single piece of trivia about every single character. I know quite a lot about most of them, but like, again, there's so much source material out there that it's just not possible.
And there's so many story arcs, and there's so many like alternate universes. And
exactly. And, you know, and retcons, and, you know, again, different versions and different comic lines. And
what if?
You know, and then that little thing that appeared in, you know, one crossover comic that, you know, you read all of Aquaman, but Aquaman appeared in The Flash.
Yeah.
And I didn't
oh that
one one volume of Flash. Like, and people will quiz me on that stuff. Like,
oh
and
my
I
God.
Too, that it's like, oh, and then if you can't answer, it's like, oh.
They get all pissy? Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Like, it truly becomes like this, like, oh, she's just a fake fan. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really like this stuff.
Wow.
My favorite is when they do that, and then they're wrong, and you get to school
oh
them.
Right?
My favorite.
Oh, so obnoxious. Or, like, I hate, too, when you're, like, trying to think of something. And you know that moment when you're, like, your brain just, like, glitches and you're, like, oh, my God, what is my best friend's name? And you're, like, dude, I know my best friend's name. But, like, your brain just doesn't go there. And you're, like, trying to think of, like, this one obscure character. And then they look at you like, you don't really know it, do you? And it's, like, I freaking do. Like, I do know this stuff. But, like, I still have a human mind. I'm sorry I'm not an android. Like...
Yeah. Like, come on, what do you expect? Dash.
Yeah. Come later and go, like, track them down in the con and be like, ha!
There's been times I've done it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she Googled it.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Fine. I'm just not going to make you happy. Whatever. So, yeah, that's probably my least favorite stereotype is like I said, the fake fan. Another one, too, is that, like, cosplayers are unapproachable or they're, you know, just bitches. And I'm like, dude, I don't think anybody that's ever met me in life will think that of me. Like,
oh,
I may
yeah, no, yeah, I definitely don't think that. Yeah.
But, like, straight up, like, even, like, Lady Death, like, or Gamora is a great one, too, where, like, they are these more, like, stoic, strong, you know, kind of, like, I, like, literally have to come back to me because I'm like, dude, I don't want you to, like, think that because I'm playing a character that that's me. I'm like, no, I'm fine, I promise, I swear. And you know that one, but like, and then like literally it'll be like, take a picture, snap. Okay, so what about this guy? I'm like, it's like fun, like little like transition, quick in and out.
Yeah, oh man, that's gonna be frustrating at times too, right? I mean, you know, that's something that you don't want to have to think about all the time, but, yeah.
Yeah. Well, for sure, like, well, and too, like, I don't want anybody to ever think that about me, that they couldn't come up and say hi to me at any time. Like, that makes me really sad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll have people message me after the show and be like, I was so nervous I couldn't come say hi, and I was like, dude, you should have come and said hi. Like, I do understand that part, like, but come say hi, like, we can be friends, like, I want to be. So, you know, I do feel really bad, you know, and especially too, like I said, if it's me being in character that makes you feel that way about me, like that makes me really sad. Yeah. Like,
my favorite pictures from cons are always when parents have little kids pose with you and they're looking at you like, oh my gosh.
My favorite are, it's especially usually dads that and they're take pictures with me as Lady Death.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're like, they want to take a picture with you. And I'm like, no, they don't want to take
you
the picture.
Do.
You want them to take the picture with me, but that's okay. Like, I don't mind. But they're like terrified to come near. And I'm like, it's okay. I can be really nice. Just don't touch all the sharp things on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love.
But that way when the wife asks, you're like, Tommy wanted a picture with her. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you, dads, I'm on to you.
No. Again, it's not my first time.
Come take your pictures. Like, I much prefer the person that would ask than the person that, like, sneakily, like, you don't notice me taking pictures over here. And it's like, yeah, I do.
Pretty obvious, usually.
Yeah. Or two, like, you see these random pictures later, and I'm doing something like, what is that picture? Like, ask me if I would do something cute for you.
Yeah.
Like, mid-conversation.
Yeah, and you're like,
just catch you full derp.
That's too funny. Oh. So, Sapphire, what would you say is your most memorable moment during your cosplay career?
Ooh, that's a pretty good one. Honestly, there's been so, like, there's so many for different reasons. So, for, like, good reasons, one of my most memorable was when actually I got my first Coffin Comics cover. So it was my very first time on a comic book cover, period. And I was a cosplayer on a Coffin Comics cover. So that was, like, I mean, truly, it was something that, like, I've been a Lady Death fan for so many years, and, like, I love Brian, I love Lady Death, I love Coffin Comics, I love The Fiends. Like, so much about it is just this, like, culmination of, like, things that I love. And so when Brian and I started talking about that, and we, like, kind of, you know, started the negotiations for it, like, that was just one of those, like, oh my god, this thing is happening, like, how amazing, how cool, like, I feel like I've made it.
Yeah.
It was just truly, like, just such a, like, fantastic thing. So that was probably, like, the good memorable. Then, like, on the side of, like, bad memorable, you know, I talked about hanging off the side of a 1,000-foot cliff. we went and did a photo shoot up in Horseshoe Bend, which is literally a 1,000-foot drop. Ooh. And one part where we, like, there's this little, like, crevice that we went down into. Mm-hmm. And it was sand on, like, the base, and it just kind of, like, into nothing.
Ooh, that's scary.
It was terrifying, and I was Lady Death for that one. So I had my contacts in, so everything's fogged.
Oh, no.
Stilettos on.
Six-inch stilettos?
Stilettos. And I'm, like, trying to crawl. And mind you, like, my husband is so good. He's, like, he went down first to, like, test it out, make sure everything was safe for me. And then he, like, walked me down and, like, held me every step of the way. But still, like, then he, like, sets me on, like, the cliff and walks away. And so, like, you know, I'm trying to, like, pretend to be all sexy and stuff. But in the side, I'm like, oh, my God, this is terrifying. And I'm, like, really thankful I can't see what's behind me right now.
Are you terrified of heights, too?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, no.
What I will do for a good shot.
Would you do it again?
Ooh, that's a good question. So, I actually did do it again.
Oh, you actually did? All right. Wow, props.
So we did that shot the first day. We went home, like, back to our hotel, cleaned up. We did some other, like, non-body painted characters, like, shot around town, just in much safer locations. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, I got up, painted myself up green to be Gamora. We went back there and shot, but I didn't go back down in that crevice.
There we go.
There you go.
Still some, like, pretty, like, none were as scary as that one, but, like, there were definitely some scary, like, moments. I, like, crawled my way out to, like, the edge of the cliff. And then it doesn't even look like I'm close to the side. And, like, all the while it looked like I was, like, it felt like I was, like, hanging off the edge. So, I mean, would I do it again? Yeah, probably. Yeah. Do it again. Yeah, probably. I get in a different zone when I'm, like, taking pictures. I'm like, the best picture. Let's do it. You want me to climb that tree? I'll climb that tree. You want me to hang over the edge of a 10-story building? Let's do it. And then later I'm like, oh my god, what the hell did I do?
What was I thinking?
Yes.
So, Sapphire, as you know as well, I am a huge Lady Death fan as well.
Yes, she is.
Have all the books. Was very excited when I saw your cosplay cover.
Thank you.
By the way, new Kickstarter coming in a couple weeks. Everybody.
Yeah. Right. Days to countdown? Like, it's coming. No, it's 7 now. But yeah, like.
Wow. Yes.
Coming close.
So, Kickstarter. And then my big question is, how did you become basically the official cosplayer for Coffin as Lady Death?
Yeah, so it's funny, Brian loves to tell this story because it's a great one. So I got turned on to Lady Death by my husband. He's the one that, like, first introduced me. And so I went and I started reading all the old stuff, and then I started the new stuff. And I just absolutely fell in love. And, like, for me, Lady Death has been that representation of strength and power and drive and just everything that kind of I feel I'm not. And so I love that about her. So when I come to like picking characters, I either pick characters that are like really similar to me, things like Starfire. Like, I feel like that's very much my personality. Mm-hmm. Or I try to pick characters that I'm like, you know what? I am not the strong person, or at least I don't feel that I am this strong person, but she is. And so when I embody her, I feel like I get that strength. And I feel like that's helped me as a person become stronger, become bolder, become, you know, more fearless. And so like, I do choose a lot of characters like that because it helps me grow as a person. And so I ended up choosing Lady Death as a character. Actually, as I was flipping through, I found originally it was an EBAS New York Comic Con exclusive, I think 2013. Don't get me on the year. I don't know which one it was. As I was flipping, I saw this cover and I was like, that is the Lady Death I want to cosplay. And it was this cool, like, dragon wings, like, and it had this really cool little skeleton creature along the base. And that's the one, like, I've most commonly been seen in. I finally had to retire that breastplate. I wore it for many, many years. And so I heard Brian was going to be at this convention. And so I was like, oh my God, this is my opportunity. This is something I've fallen in love with at this point. Like, I'm so excited. This is the one I want to do. He's going to be here. Like, the stars have aligned. I've got it now. And so I like started making it, went there, went to this con. He loves to tell the story because it was at an ice skating rink.
Okay. What?
Yes. It was. There were three ice skating rinks in there. They took over two of them. Actually, like one of the years we went, they left one of the ice skating rinks open and had cosplay ice skating.
right. Hopefully no one got injured.
Not that I know of, but you know.
Who knows?
I know one of my friends took a time, but I don't think it was. Okay. I was trying to look cool as Emma Frost on that day, which is pretty neat. but yeah, so it's like freezing in this place. And they've like, basically what they did was they put like plywood over, like I'm sure they had like specialty things that went over, but like, so the ice is still under. And then there's us. So it was freezing, but I like went over to meet Brian and I was all nervous because I was like, this is the man that made this thing I love. And so I'm like trying to be all cool because I'm Lady Death. I'm like, hey, how's it going? And all the while, oh my God, I can't talk to this man. Who is this? Like, and so, yeah, we ended up becoming friends that way. And truly, like, Fran, his wife, reminds me so much of my mom. It's not even funny. And, like, my mom, coolest mom ever in life. And so, like, and that, like, same kind of, like, awesome. And at the time, like, I was living cross country. So I was like, Fran, can I just have, like, a hug? Because you remind me of my mom. And so I was this total weirdo. And how we ever became friends, I don't know.
She is totally cool. The sweetest. I love her.
She is. She's the sweetest. And so we ended up, like I said, we ended up becoming friends that way. And we just kind of stayed in contact. And it actually, like, ended up working because although we met in New Jersey, which is where I was living at the time, we kind of had this, like, commonality of, you know, he lives here in Arizona. And so it was like, oh, my God. Like, you know, every time they did, like, a live stream of him sitting on his roof in the rain, like, when the storms come in, I was like, oh, my God, storm. Like, I miss those storms. And then when we came back down here to Arizona, we just ended up kind of like reconnecting. And then he started having me out for like his Kickstarter launch parties. And I was like, dude, you know, if you want a Lady Death, like, call on me. Like, I'll come out and do this. And so
That's
he
how
started.
I met you.
Yeah.
And so Kickstarter party.
More regularly for that. And then. You know, then I worked a couple conventions for him, like helping us as Lady Death. And so it just kind of like built like step by step from there. Awesome. And so, yeah, that's where we sit.
Now, I know you kind of mentioned it earlier where people often assume that your husband is the more nerdy one. Mm-hmm. I also have come across that a lot.
Yeah.
Where specifically with anything Coffin, Lady Death, and people see it, they think it's my boyfriend's stuff, not mine. Because it's, you know, half naked ladies.
Uh-huh.
So they're like, it's not, it can't be yours because you're a woman.
Right? You know what? I get it all the time. And it's funny because, like I said, my husband is the one that turned me on to Lady Death. But, like, I'm now much more the Lady Death fan than he is. So it's funny because, like, I've kind of taken that on as my obsession now. But yeah, I do get that all the time. Or I get it a lot too, as like a cosplayer, that, like, oh, why would you support that? Like, all the girls are just scantily clad. That's so sexy. And I'm like, you had done anything more than look at one picture,
She's a
you would know
badass.
Death is not sexist at all. Like,
Yes.
every single, like, there is not one male in all of Coffin Comics that overshadows a female. Like,
Or
yeah.
truly, if you
All
look
the
at any,
ladies are badass.
like, all the men are badass too, for sure. But, like, again, if you look at Supergirl, obviously, first thing you're going to think of is Superman. If you look at the X-Men, first thing you're going to think of, Charles Xavier, Wolverine. Like, if you look at, like, all of comic history, yes, there are some badass females, but they're almost always overshadowed by
Connected.
their counterpart. Even if they have their own comic, whatever it is, most times they are overshadowed by their men. Coffin Comics is not that way at all. Like, Lady Death stands on her own. La Muerta stands on her own. Hellwitch stands on her own. Like,
Yeah.
they have men in their story, but honestly,
They're
like,
the sidekick.
That is
they're
true. Yeah.
if anything, like, even if you look at, like, Lady Death's twins, she has a boy and a girl. Who's the
Oh,
one who
wow.
Chaotica?
Yeah.
Like, you think of the girl long before you think of the boy.
Yeah.
Like, poor, like, he's cool, but, like, Chaotica, badass, like. And
I've
so, like,
also heard that too from a lot of people is the sexist comment. And I was like, if you actually read it, like especially with Hope, like how she became Lady Death and how like empowered she is.
Well,
Or
you know
even
what?
La Muerta. I mean, look at what happened to her family. She overcame
Yes.
it. She's getting
Oh, it's my.
revenge.
And truly, like, her story, like, going from Hope, because, like, again, I say, like, I don't really see a lot of myself in Lady Death. I don't. However, I see a lot of myself in Hope. And just seeing that Hope could take something so traumatic and awful and so much hardship and truly be thrown down to literally the depths of hell and rise from that to become, I mean, ruler of everything, like, to, this, like, massive man killer, and, like, all the adversity she's overcome, like, that strength, the fact that, you can, in some ways, like, harden your heart to things, and not in a bad way, in a good way, but find that strength to bring it up, like, I think that's incredible. And so
Definitely. Yeah.
I have found so much strength from that story.
That's
Yeah.
awesome.
And that's why I think a lot of people should not only give Lady Death a chance, but Coffin. I mean, there's a reason why so many people love the comics, love the community.
And two, I think so much it, as women, we're told that, to be a strong woman, you have to put on the pants, and
You can
that,
only be one thing.
yeah, and
That's
like,
true.
oh, I have to be a man to
Yeah.
be strong.
I'm like, no.
No, and that's why I love Lady Death, because she's like, screw it, I can be a badass in a thong, like, and she
Exactly.
can be so comfortable and so empowered in her sexuality. That's amazing too, because I think so often we're taught as women that, yeah, you need to be powerful sexually and stuff like that, but then we're really not shown that. Like,
Yeah.
we're shown that in order to be powerful, you can't be sexy.
You have to be masculine.
And I don't think that's true at all. Like, I think I can be a badass and be sexy, and Lady Death has taught me that.
Exactly.
I agree.
So go support Lady Death.
Because you'll see my new, I have another new cover coming out with that one too. So,
In the Kickstarter?
yeah. That's
Nice.
awesome.
I'll be looking for it.
This next cover coming out with the Kickstarter is my favorite cover to date.
Ooh,
So,
something to
your
look
favorite
forward
cover to
to.
date.
Favorite cover to date.
That's a bold statement.
Nice. Now I'm even more excited. Gosh. The
Yeah,
wait
listen.
is already torture.
He overdoes all of the Kickstarters, so like
That's
be
awesome.
ready for some amazing stuff because it'll be there.
It's always
Hell yeah.
great. So, next question is gonna be, if you weren't doing cosplay, what do you think you'd be doing right now?
That's a great question. I mean, truly, like, I still think I'm kind of doing it in some ways too. Like, I have to be doing something artistic. Like, if I'm not, and mind you, like, I am not like a drawer or a painter. Like, I've learned those things for cosplay, but like, I'm a performing artist at heart. Like, so I need to be on the stage or in a movie or singing or dancing or something to that effect. Like, I have to be performing. I tried really hard for a while to like find something that wasn't, that was more of a 9-to-5 kind of job and, have that stability in life. And I was just like, you know what? That is so not me. I'm never going to be happy with it. I'm going to hate every day that I go. So I need to find something that is just, that again, that I can express myself. So if I wasn't doing cosplay, I'd be working on a stage. I would be doing a movie. I would, like I said, I had my professional ballroom career. I still work as a princess for birthday parties. Something, anything to be performing. I would find something.
I think both of us definitely could identify with the not so much 9-to-5 being our thing.
It just, it's not that it's a bad thing, and I can completely understand where people like the stability of it. Like,
Yes.
that would be wonderful. That part I would love. But, I thought for a while that that's what I wanted more than anything. I was like, I was going to be the good girl in a little box, and I was going to do it. And, I tried so hard, and I was just like, you know what? I'm denying the very essence of myself, trying so hard to make everybody else happy. And I'm just, at the end of the day, I have to be happy. So, do I always know where my paycheck is coming from? Nope, I don't. But that's okay because at the end of the day, I am so, even without worry about that part, I'm still so much happier than I would ever be trying to squeeze myself back in that box. I don't belong.
So, is there anyone in your life that you are thankful for in helping you build this career?
Oh, there's so many people. I'm like scared to answer this question that I forget somebody, but
Gonna be like, "Why didn't you mention me?"
yeah. So that's why I'm gonna go safe. So sorry to all the professional people that have helped me in my life, but you have all helped me so much. I feel like this is like the Oscar speech where you fit so many people in
They
all
really
at once.
love me.
But I'm gonna stick family and friends just because, like, again, that's a little safer. So all the rest of you, I'm thankful to you too. But I mean, truly, I am thankful to my husband. He has been, like I said earlier, that's pillar of strength for me. And truly, he's been all of the business things that I think I would be too much in La La Land to comprehend. So, he is the contracting and all of that stuff that I just wouldn't even know where to start. I would like be sitting in a ball in a corner going, I don't know what to do with all of this. So I'm very thankful to him. I'm very thankful to my parents. They have been so supportive
That's
through all
awesome.
of because, I know a lot of times they don't understand really what I do and how I do it. They're still waiting for me to get that real job. So very supportive just to, say, you know what? I don't understand this, but I know you love it, so go get them. Like, my mom actually was one of the first people that I was doing like a full body paint and he paint my butt because I couldn't reach. Now, but like, that was my mom. Like, she's like, okay, I guess we're doing this thing. And so she was there for me, and so like they have been just, again, even if they don't get it, they're still there going, they'll be my biggest supporters. So,
That's awesome.
so many people I could say I'm thankful for, but because truly, no man is an island. Like, I didn't get here on my own. There's so many people that have helped me get here. So, you know, that's where we're, like I said, I'll stay safe and stick family, but but yeah, there's so many.
You mentioned that you make all of your costumes. I know that it probably varies depending on the costumes, but how long about does it take you to make a costume?
So yeah, it does seriously vary by costume. Most costumes, so it also depends for me, like some, like most of the Lady Death costumes, I had a little bit of help from some of the other girls, but I churned out most of those in about a month.
Oh, wow.
Lady Death was obviously already done, but, and like Hellwitch was mostly done. But like the other, well, Chaotica, she did her own, but, Lady Satanis and, La Muerta, and then those, improvements on Hellwitch, I did most of those in about a month.
Wow.
Actually, Lady Satanis was done in like a week. I can go into more detail there. I can get so quick. Most like take me something on the order of like 4 or 5 full days of work. Some take much longer. A lot of ones, like my Red Sonja, I was working on her for almost a year and a half. But not because it took me that long. It was just literally like she was never my top priority to get done. So like, you know, today I had a little extra time, so I cut out a few more scales. Or, you know, today I worked on making her, you know, shoulder armor. Or, you know, so it was just like little by little I kind of chipped away at her. So she did take a long, like, amount of time from, like, start to finish. But, like, really, if you condensed it down, she didn't take me that long to do. It's just, I have costumes like that that are just like, when this gets done, it gets done. And so, you know, it's somewhere in between that.
Is there any character that you haven't cosplayed that you really want to?
I thought you were going to leave it at you haven't cosplayed. No. I haven't played at all. No. No, there are definitely, oh god, there's so many characters I want to cosplay. Heck, even if I just look at Lady Death, there's like still like 15 more versions I want to do of her.
Oh, really?
There's a few. There's some that are kind of in the works right now. There are some that like have gotten backburnered forever. There's one, like some that are so simple, like I have always wanted to do Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. That has been a dream cosplay of mine for years. And will I ever get to it? Damn, right now it doesn't look like it. Yeah. But hoping to. I keep hoping to. Yeah, there's some, like, I really want to do, like, Demona from the Gargoyles. I think she'd be really
nice.
Cool.
Nice.
And so if I can ever figure out how to get... I have a pair of wings for Hellwitch that we're actually, like, in the process of remaking and revamping, but I'm trying to get them moving. So they actually like open up automatically.
Oh, wow.
And so once I get that, like I can easily reskin the like bare bones of that. And so I'll probably end up making Demona at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot of like little ones. Like we were talking tonight. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Strange Magic.
I have not.
It's plus. It's a cute little one. It's just like a cute little cartoon movie. Oh. About like a fairy, and I like really want to cosplay the main fairy, and it's one of those like I don't think most people are gonna get it because it's not a very popular movie. Mm-hmm. It flopped really when it was in theaters, even though I myself went and saw it 5 times.
It doesn't matter what they think; it's matter what you think, right?
Yeah, well, I'm like it's one of those like I love it.
Yeah,
and so yeah, like, will I ever get to that? I don't know, but. There's a lot. My list always gets longer before it gets shorter.
I bet, yeah.
So on the flip side, are there any characters that you would not cosplay for any reason?
Yes and no. I mean, there's some, like, I've actually gotten asked this a lot, like, if I would ever cosplay La Muerta. No, I won't. It's not because I don't like her as a character or that I don't think it'd be fun. However, like, I am too fair-skinned to do a sugar skull on my face.
I love La Muerta, and that was my thought as well. I would never dress up as her because I am not Hispanic Latina.
You know? And that's why I brought out, you know, my lovely, you know, Abriana to do that, because she is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's some like that that just for cultural reasons, no, I won't. But, you know, as far as like character wise or anything, no, because there's so much that can be fun. Like, even like I say, like, you know, that like Harley Quinn is probably one of those that like it will never be my main focus to do. I've done her like Suicide Squad. And
Everybody does her too.
Yeah, some that I'm just like, they're a little too like too mainstream, but you know, if the opportunity presented itself, then yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if I found like a cool version or something different about her that, you know, that I would do, then yeah, absolutely. Like if I had known the Suicide Squad costume was gonna become what it became, I wouldn't have made it when I made it. Because I made it like everybody else when that first picture dropped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first person to do this, and then like everybody did it, and so it has sat in the closet since then, because just like,
back to that Hot Topic sells Birds of Prey Harley Quinn and Suicide Squad Harley Quinn should say how mainstream it is.
Oh my gosh.
We want to go back to like things other cosplayers do wrong. I can't tell you the number of times I have seen professional cosplayers behind a booth wearing Hot Topic dresses.
Oh my,
yeah.
That's horrible.
My favorite one, we did a horror convention. This was years ago. Okay. So we went to a horror convention and there were 6 or 7 like professional cosplayers there with booths. 6 of them came as Jason with booty shorts. Mask worn to the side because you know you can't wear in front of your face.
Yeah.
Like they all looked exactly the same, cookie cutter. Here,
that is.
One person came as Michael Myers with the ripped up red and green shirt, you know, with the bra hanging out, and you know. And then I came as Lady Death. Full paint.
There we go.
So I had like you know full armor like. That's what I'm talking about.
Badass. But like, you know, again, like them, you're just like...
You stood out.
What's wrong with those costumes? It's just that it's dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They all look the same? That's crazy.
All look the same.
You see a lot of Elviras, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, excuse you, there's one Elvira.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
So I guess somewhat of a spicy question.
Hey.
Have you had any weird requests from people in cosplay, like as you in cosplay at a convention?
To be honest, like nothing like too crazy. I think my favorite kind of weird request was I had somebody that came to a, you know, to a con, came to my booth, and they wanted me to sign a comic book. Okay, pretty fair. I get that a lot. You know, like, you know, even if I'm not necessarily in that character, like, you know, here's a Guardians of the Galaxy. Can you sign it? Because you, you know, cosplay such an awesome Gamora. Makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody come and bring me a comic book for something that I have never cosplayed, never done any part of it. I obviously wasn't a part of the book originally. And they asked me to sign the book. And I'm just like, I mean, I'll... And it for you if you want, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, I can't remember.
Goodness.
But it was like, you know, here, sign for, you know, Psylocke. And I'm like, I've never cosplayed Psylocke. Like, you know, I'm like, I can't remember. But somebody, like, but again, completely random. And I'm just like, again, I will, but why? I'm just confused.
It's confusing because it doesn't necessarily like if you're thinking about it for like value context, right? Because usually if it's if you get someone that does cosplay it, you know, it would add value to the comic book, right?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, again, if you ask me to sign a Fantastic Four book, like I've cosplayed Invisible Woman, makes sense, you know, I get that, but like this had nothing to do with me. I was just like, I don't know why you want me to sign this.
I mean, totally get it if it's like your cosplay cover for Lady Death and they want you to sign it. Like, it makes sense.
Please please come bring that to me to sign. I will happily sign it for you. But, like, yeah, nothing to do with me.
Just roll up and be like, can you sign the Space Jam movie?
Yes. Yep.
Do you also get any, like, weird requests for you to, like, cosplay as?
To be honest, not really. I get a lot of suggestions. People are like, I'd love to see you as this character. And for the most part, they're all pretty, you know, I don't want to say generic, but, like, you know, they're not weird. I find it weird. I'll get people that'll, like, be like, wow, you should cosplay Gamora. I'm like, I cosplay Gamora. Like, you should take a look at the pictures.
Yeah.
They're already there. Yeah. Like, why are you telling me to cosplay somebody I already cosplay?
It's so, like, hard to scroll up.
Yeah, like, but I will get weird ones like that where it's like, I've already done that? Like, I don't know what more you want. Like, again, I would be fine if you came to me with, like, here, like, have you ever done, like, Gamora's white armor? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, see, that's a good suggestion. No, I have not.
Yeah.
But, like, just Gamora, like, I've done that. Like, you know, you should cosplay Invisible Woman. I've done that. Like,
you mean you happen to have anyone ask you to cosplay as Pony Death? Come on.
You know, I think if there was a way for me to pull it off, people would ask for it. But no, I have not been asked to cosplay Pony Death.
Have your husband be the back end. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be thrilled.
That's funny.
That'd be funny. That's how I'm rolling in. Sworn Fest next year.
Yes.
That'd be so awkward. I love it.
It would be great.
I would pay money to see that, all right?
Or the new one, Poo Death.
It was like that, like, you know, the birthday cake where, like, the stripper pops out. Oh, you're like, I'll be back. And then I'm like, ba-da-da, here comes Lady Death for real.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
We need to pitch this to Brian ASAP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will earn you money, all right?
Yeah.
All right. So this one's a little bit different from your cosplay quest, topics, but Sapphire, if you could give us top three struggles that you've had in your life that you would like to share.
Ooh, this is going, like, deep then.
Yeah, we're going deep.
Okay, it's like, what do I want to talk about? Okay,
talk about anything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, obviously one of the biggest struggles in my life, there was a time when we were actually pretty new into the business, and we had just started, I just retired from my ballroom career. We kind of just started this full time. And, you know, obviously any new business isn't making the money it should be. And we hit kind of a rocky patch. We just weren't making ends meet, really. We were, you know, trying our best. And this is a long story that I do not want to go into, but we ended up homeless.
Oh, wow. And
mind you, at this point, we were living in Jersey where things are so much more expensive and all of that. And we had thought we had a place that was taking us, and then suddenly we didn't.
Ooh.
And we ended up living almost 6 months in our car. Sometimes we had a friend's, you know, couch we could crash on from time to time, but we had to send our dog away to live with somebody else for that time. And, it was rough. It was really a tough time. We were, you know, clinging on to this dream of making this work. I was, you know, reading my Lady Death comics, hoping for some strength to, you know,
yeah,
get us in, you know, through all this. But, yeah, it was that I would say that has been one of the most difficult times in my life. It really did test the, you know, lengths of everything. And, you know, there was always this part of me that was going, well, you know, what if I went back to work doing, you know, something else? What if I got a job doing this? And, you know, we clung to this dream, and we really like fought and kicked and scratched and clawed our way out of that. And so it just, you know, goes to show that if there is something you want, as you know, especially something like this, where it's not an easy thing. It's something that, you know, so many people want to make work, and it does take drive to make it happen. And so it would have been so easy for us to quit and give up on this dream, but we didn't. We persevered. We made it through. You know, now we're living in our beautiful house. You know, it's still, yeah, still, we haven't made it to the owning part, but you know what? We're so happy to have a roof over our head, to, you know, to be in this place where we can create these amazing things, where we can travel to these beautiful places. So, you know what, we put in that struggle, but, you know, I can't say we've made it, because there is, you know, I don't believe there is a made it. You know, we're still reaching for that peak, and that peak gets farther every time you get closer. Mm-hmm. But that's what makes it great, and that's what allows us to strive for new heights. So, I don't know, that was kind of one, and you asked for three, but I was pretty deep in. And
that's one big one.
That was a big one.
Yeah. I mean, the other part, I'm kind of turning this all back to cosplay, but
that's fine.
I mean, cosplay is my life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the other thing, I mean, truly, I felt this is kind of like an ongoing struggle with myself, is just this idea of kind of never being good enough. I will always strive for more. I don't take second best. Like, that's just kind of who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. And so this part is kind of not cosplay per se, but it was part back to my ballroom dancing. I never made that one number one spot. Mm-hmm. And so there was this time where I kind of kept, you know, running at the wall, hitting it, trying so hard to break that wall down. And I never did. And so that to me was one of the greatest struggles of my life, was just the fact that I was never able to, you know, and even though in the height of my ballroom dancing, like, I was, you know, in the top 10 in the nation, like, professionally, like, I mean, I know I did good stuff. Like, I know my accomplishments were nothing to sneeze at, but it was hard for me because I never was able to crack that. And so in some ways, like, getting the comic book covers and that kind of thing is like, those kind of help reassure me that I'm on the right path, that I'm doing the right thing. And even though there isn't really like a number one spot here in cosplay, mm-hmm. like, at least I know I'm still fighting for that dream and fighting to make it better. So like, that kind of is, you know, it always has been a struggle for me, and it kind of always will be, but I, you know, I'll never believe the best in myself. Like, I'm always going to keep, I know I can do better. So mm-hmm. I will keep going to do better. So that's for me. And then as a final number three, I don't really want to go into this too much yet, because it's something that I guess I will give all of you a keep an eye out for this, because it is coming. I've been kind of teasing it a little bit on my social medias. Mm-hmm. But I've actually been dealing with some really large health issues lately. Oh. And some truly life-altering health issues. Mm-hmm. And so this is actually, like, the closest I've come talking publicly about it yet. So actually, because this is a little bit therapeutic for me, mm-hmm. Just truly once I make that... make that decision and actually go fully public with it, it is going to change people's view of me, not in a bad way, but just it will change. And so I'm trying to brace myself mentally for that. And so I'm getting there, but it's challenging. And again, it's not because I think anybody will think anything bad or anything like that. It's just, again, it's that perfectionist in myself thinking less of me. And so I'm trying with that in my own head. So that's number three. But like I said, I'm not. I'm going to leave it there a little bit vague, a little bit cryptic.
Well, thank you for sharing with us. I know that's really
keep
personable.
open. I'm gonna do a full live stream, and I'm gonna go in depth with it, and I'm gonna, talk about all the things that have been going on. But it's been a rough, honestly, last year. Things are gonna change, and I'm gonna have to embrace it sooner rather than later, but not quite there yet.
When do you plan on doing the live stream?
Well, I planned on doing it in October, last
Oh,
October, and
okay.
then on doing it in November, and then I planned on doing it in December, and then I planned on doing it in January, and then I'm doing it in February. So the truth is, I'm hoping to do it sooner rather than later. I'm hoping to do it the next month or so. I keep gear, honestly, it's kind of like jumping off the cliff. I keep running edge, okay, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it.
And
No,
then
I'm
like no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not ready. And so, yeah, the honest truth is, hopefully in the next few weeks. But I, like I said, I've been saying that for months now, and I haven't done it.
It's
So,
tough. Okay.
I haven't found the courage to jump yet. So that's the honest answer, is I don't know, but
Yeah.
I will make it very public before I do. So,
I mean,
When you're
I'm sure
ready.
you already know, but you know that Sworn and the Fiends are all there for you. When we think Lady Death, we think of you.
Oh, thank you. No, I honestly, I thought about talking about it this weekend. Some people already around Sworn and Coffin already know. But I really considered, especially during the testimonials and stuff, but I was like, but dudes, I don't want to bring down people's weekend like that.
Yeah, they
That was the me running up to the cliff.
Yeah.
We're getting there. I'm trying. And like I said, I know it's all up here, but
Yeah.
that's where we end.
We all love you.
We're all rooting for you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. And that, I think, too, is what makes it hard for me, because I feel like so many people are rooting for me, and I feel like I'm tripping at the finish line. And even though I know it's not, and it's not me, and it's not something I can even control, and it's not something that I have to, it's not that I can't reach the finish line. I think I can, but
Yeah.
that's just how it feels to me. And so it's tough that way.
You'll get there
I
when you're
will.
ready.
I will. I do have faith, and you never know what's coming down the pipeline medically too. So what affects me today might not affect me tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you definitely have, I mean, in my opinion, one of the most supportive and kind-hearted fandoms out there.
Is absolutely true. Fiends aside, the fiends themselves are so supportive and so amazing. I can't even tell you. I had somebody comment on one of my pictures one time. They're like, could you have picked an uglier Lady Death? And underneath it, I swear to God, there was at least 100 comments of, what the hell are you, do you think you're talking
Yeah.
about? Are you blind? Look at you. Everything, I didn't even have a chance to think about this comment before everybody was all over. So I
Yeah.
know I cannot say thank you enough to all the people that have supported my career and my cosplay and all of this over the years, because I do, I am so thankful for the support I have. They are so great. So many other cosplayers talk oh man, I get 12 dick pics a week, and people are so rude, and they take down my cosplay. I'm like, dude, I have none of that.
Yeah.
But truly, dick pic on my page, block. Negative
Yeah.
comment, block. I don't let that happen, because I don't want it. I'm sorry.
That's the
Yeah, I could
hilarious part is like
arms, but
people see the fans of Coffin and they think like they're mean or they're scary, but they're the sweetest
They're
and they will come to
the
bat for
sweetest.
you any
Yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dude, I know that if anybody, especially when I do come public, I know if anybody has anything bad to say, they will be all over
Oh,
them
for
instantly.
sure.
You'll get the
I don't even
hammer.
myself. I just have to put the bag and say thank you.
That's
No, they're
incredible.
cool.
But it's amazing of how far you've come, you know.
Yeah. It, you know, it is. It's it really is a blessing. Like I look back to those nights that we spent in the car and look at where I sit today, and you know, it's so easy sometimes to be, you know, we all think that like, oh, I don't take anything for granted, but like it is. I mean, we're human. Like yeah. It's so like the simple things for granted. A roof over your head, or food to eat, or, you know, again, in my case, like health. You know, it's so easy to think that, oh, I don't take things for granted. And then when you don't have them, how you realize how, yeah, I did. And so, you know, looking at where I'm sitting today, like, I'm so thankful that, you know, I can do the things that I'm doing. I can do what I love. I can share the things that I love with all of you. It's crazy and it's amazing.
Well, I'm glad that you are here with us to share.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
All right. Well, let's move on to something happy more times. Positive. Sapphire, give us your top three proudest moments you've had in your life.
Ooh, that's a good one. So obviously I talked about this one earlier, getting my cover with Coffin Comics. Mm-hmm. And just truly every comic book cover I've had, like those are all such proud and shiny moments for me. They just, you know, they just take it to that like next level for me. Mm-hmm. Another huge one was the day I went professional for my ballroom dancing. It was, you know, something I had been striving for such a long time. Like I had put so much effort into it. I had gone to so many competitions, and like that day I like got to like turn around and call myself a professional. Like,
yeah,
that was such a huge moment. So that was you know, a big, big one for me. And then, I mean, God, there's so many. I mean, life is made of those moments. Like,
yeah,
you know, I could say graduating from college. Like I could say I was student of the year in high school. Like, there's so many like accolades and mm-hmm. and that, there's just so many great things, but those are some of the big ones for me.
Wonderful. Because you are also top 10, right? You said top 10. That's an amazing feature.
I will say one of like talking great moments here. There was a moment. So in ballroom dancing, it breaks to like the top six is the final cut.
Yes.
And smaller competition. Not, I mean, it was still a pretty big competition, but like, or I guess one of the medium-sized competitions I went to, my partner and I rolled in, and you kind of already know before you even dance who's going to be that top six.
Yes, you mm-hmm. do.
And so you can kind of like look around and be like, oh, that couple. Yeah, okay, that couple definitely will be. Oh yeah, that one. And I walked in, and this couple walks up and goes, "You're here this weekend?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Dang, I didn't think you'd be here. There goes our..." Like, that was a huge moment for me that, like, again, this person looked at me and just before I'd even danced knew I was gonna and we did, we were in the top six for that con, but like, yeah. But like, you know, again, that they could just look at me and see that, like, I was like, yeah.
Strut yourself. You're like, yeah, I feel... That's awesome. That's amazing. Do you still do any ballroom dancing as like a fun spare time?
I do very, very rarely. Now with health, it is hard. Hmm. So okay. I don't get as much as I even used to, like after just retiring. So
yeah.
Don't do what I'd like.
How long did you do ballroom dancing for?
I competed professionally for 5 years.
Wow.
Honestly, I started ballroom dancing in college, so it wasn't something I had started as like a child and, you know, spent like I worked my butt off and, you know, I put so much effort into it. So, yeah,
that's an amazing achievement. You know?
Thank you.
People would say like, oh, you've probably been doing this ever since you're like little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing I really enjoyed about ballroom is you don't have to start it when you're 3 years old in order to be great. Like for ballet, if you didn't start it at three, you missed the boat.
Yeah.
The
end.
Like ballroom is not that way. Like if you put in the effort, like you really can be great at it. at any age. Like, I've seen people older than I was that have started it and done amazing things.
That's awesome. I've always wanted to try out and start doing ballroom dancing, so.
So much. And you know what? There's so many life lessons you can learn from it, too. Like, and then just, it is. It's fun. It's exercise. Like, there's so many great things. Yeah. I can't.
All right. Well, thank you for the three proudest moments. We're almost done here. We're almost at the finish line.
Okay.
So, Sapphire, if you could give us a reflection on where you are today and what your future looks like to you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess we've kind of like covered a lot of where I am today. I mean, you know, today it really is these, you know, traveling to conventions and stuff like that. For my future, like, I want to keep doing this. I want to keep coming up with bigger and better builds and, you know, more elaborate costumes and cooler, more unique things, whatever that might be. And then for me, I want to travel further. Like, I want to, you know, do cons in South America. I want to do cons in Europe. Like, I want to be everywhere because I want to see not only that I want to bring myself to all of them, but I also want to see what all of them have to offer too. So I want to take this bigger, better, you know, again, more comic book covers, like whatever it might be, like, you know, maybe a Netflix show in the future. Like,
maybe,
fingers crossed. I'm throwing that out in the world.
You know? Maybe an actual Lady Death movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, just saying, Brian, like, if you want your Lady Death, I'm right here. No, you know, Lady Death, like, put me into somebody else. Like,
yeah.
I've been trying to drop that hint for years.
Hey, there's a lot of German fans. Tell them you need to go do a con in Germany.
You know? Let's do it. I'm happy.
Coincidentally, maybe during Oktoberfest.
Yeah, right? Drinking in cons, not as much fun as you think it would be.
It's a drunk Lady Death.
That would be great to see.
Yeah, not so much fun, no.
All right, Sapphire, any last words you would like to share with everyone?
Goodness, I feel like I've said a lot of words. I just want to say, honestly, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to all of this. Thank you for your continued support, you know, throughout the years and for the years to come. You know, thank you for letting me be a part of your life. I hope that, you know, at least I can entertain a little bit and, you know, make your day a little brighter. You know, I really hope that you get a chance to check out Superheroes Unlimited. We're a great company. We make so many cool things. I hope you get a chance to check out my social medias. Like I said, Sapphire Nova Cosplay. You know, truly it's that way on everything. I'll try to, you know, keep things fun, interesting, funny, cute, sexy, you know, all of the above. So I really hope that you really get a chance to just experience life and let me be a part of it. So thank you. Thank you guys so much.
And definitely check out the Kickstarter.
Yeah, check out the Kickstarter.
And get Sapphire's cover.
Yeah.
Come it soon.
It's going to, like I said, it's awesome. They've already done some previews of it, so you can already see it. But yeah, definitely check it out. It's going to be an amazing Kickstarter. There's going to be so much more to come, so don't think it stops here, because we're just getting going.
Coffin Comics, Lady Death, Kickstarter, Sapphire Nova.
Do it. All right, well, everyone, thanks again for listening. You know, don't forget to follow our social media as well. And stay tuned for the next episode.
Yeah.
Have a good day, everyone.